This episode of Legion of News is made possible by our friends at Squires Electric, a brand new business partner. Squires Electric is a full-service electrical contractor for all of your residential and commercial needs. You can contact them at 503-252-1609, or for more information, go to squireselectric.com.
Greetings, fellow Portlanders. From the Emerson News Network, this is Legion of News!
From high above the milkpacking district in the heart of beautiful southeast Portland, Oregon, this, my friends, is Legion of News, a one-hour distillation of all-important knowledge from everywhere. My name is Rick Emerson alongside Don Taylor, who is, even now as I speak these words to you, preparing information on a vast swath of happenings, including, but not limited to, the following.
Patrol cars are vandalized in Multnomah County. College students petition to carry weapons to school. And time is running out on that repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
As always, my friends, have no doubt that this conglomeration of factual discourse and ideological screed will render you shocked, amazed, enraptured, and demonstrably more intelligent than when you began this hour. And now, without further ado, prepare yourselves! For this is Legion of News.
Good afternoon, I'm Dawn Taylor, and this is absolutely everything you need to know for Tuesday, November 9th, 2010. Someone vandalized five unmarked Multnomah County patrol cars parked in a protected lot overnight. Investigators said the vehicle's tires were flattened and acid was poured on the outside of the cars.
Where are people getting all this acid? What's with all the acid these days? Whatever happened to...
Acid World, over on Hawthorne.
Nothing but acid emporium.
Acid only.
Making a jingle in my head. I'll have that ready for later this hour.
So far, police have not arrested any suspects. A person claiming to be responsible for the vandalism sent an anonymous email to KGW Television that said, "We slashed the tires of five unmarked patrol vehicles. We did this because we despise the institution of police and care deeply and personally about its victims." Just that happened. After a student was robbed at knife point on campus in September, Old Dominion University police put in plenty of face time with students. It was the third recent incident near the campus, and it forced administrators to change how they protected their students. A month and a half later, some students say it's still not enough. The College Republicans, I believe that's an on-campus group. College Republicans.
There's not enough of what for who when?
Protection for students who are being robbed.
Okay.
At knife point.
All right.
So this group, the College Republicans, feel security should fall into the hands of student and staff. Club member Tyler Spire says if they have their concealed weapons permit to be able to carry their weapons on campus, they're already law-abiding students, and they should have the right to carry it on campus.
And this is where?
This is Old Dominion University in Norfolk, Virginia.
Okay, so this isn't anywhere that I have to worry about students walking around armed with zip guns or something.
Not yet.
Have at it. Everybody should carry a gun then. You know, more power to you. Maybe you can just have it as part of a signing bonus. You know, like when you show up, like go to college and they give you the little, like when you go to see an Amway convention or something, or a guy who's trying to sell you some scam where you give like overseas calling cards to your friend and loved ones. And you go to the seminar and they give you a plastic bag and inside is like a hairbrush with the name of some fly-by-night multi-level marketing company on it.
And one of those completely useless little individual things of deodorant.
I was going to say that. Also, here's the other thing you always get. You get a letter opener that kind of looks like a hair pick, but it's got a business card on the side of it. Mm. You can give them that. And then also, you know, handgun. I mean, yeah. You know, why not?
If you're a lady and you go, I don't know if this is the case anymore, but when I started college, they had boy bags and girl bags for students, and we got tampons.
What did they give you when you left college? Just a slow, reproachful shake of the head.
A sad look.
And for you, we have a bag of shame.
Enjoy your life in internet radio, they said.
Good times.
So this fellow from the College Republicans says that...
And he is a fellow, by the way. If you're a College Republican, you're a fellow and you're wearing a jacket with a crest on the bosom.
He says that ODU's situation is unique because the open campus blends in with the surrounding neighborhood. He says, they can ban us from concealed carrying, but a regular Joe Blow like you can conceal carry anywhere you want on this campus, and they can't tell you that you can't.
Are you Joe Blow in the story? Who's he speaking to?
I don't know. I think you're Joe Blow, Mr. Emerson.
I'm confused about any number of things in this story, but I can't even believe I'm caring about some Dick College Republican in Virginia. he's upset because he can't carry a concealed weapon on campus, but Joe Blow can.
Right.
And Joe Blow is who? Other students?
The townies, I believe.
The common man who, the people who aren't living on campus?
Yeah, those
guys?
Those townies in their cutoff shorts, riding their bikes and swimming at the gravel pit.
Well, whenever a guy like that, I mean, one hates to stereotype, but I mean, hey, if you're talking about College Republicans, stereotyping is the way to go.
You failed to catch my clever reference.
I heard it. So maybe we have to go have gay sex somewhere? No, I'm thinking of personal best.
Wow. Yes. No.
Wait, which one is breaking? Which one is personal best and which one is breaking away?
Breaking away is this, the bicycle guy and Dennis Quaid and swimming in the old gravel quarry.
All right, now, I thought that personal best was the bicycling film.
No, that's Mariel Hemingway
right. Getting
it on with a... No, they were runners.
They were runners, not bicycle. Well, you can see my mistake there. I mean,
and
athletes
there, and
they're...
there were lesbians. There were no lesbians in Breaking Away.
Well, Randy Quaid is a lesbian
there was
here.
Bicycles and opera.
Inside. I didn't even know what I was going to say about the College Republican. It's just that whenever College Republicans say, well, you know, we're not allowed to blank, but other people are allowed to blank. Other people always just means, like, minorities.
Yeah.
That's really what it is.
Yeah. It could just mean poor people because, you know.
Or anyone else who doesn't know their place, Don.
Exactly.
All right. You're listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Thank you for joining us. It is Tuesday, November 9th, 2010. Coming up later on the day, we'll have the Rick Emerson Show over at rickemerson.com. We got a taser watch, which apparently is splendiferous. Apparently, it's the best taser watch in all the Toyland.
It's one of my favoritest taser watches we've ever done.
Here's how I know it's a great taser watch, because you actually have been giggling over the story most of the morning, but I haven't been allowed to see it. And you actually were showing it to Sarah X. Dillon and Greg Nibbler earlier, and I was sort of shooed out of the room. And then the door was shut, and you were pointing, and then, like, moving your hand around, and then you were all tittering with laughter.
Well, yeah, it was like I said, okay, don't say anything that loud, because I don't want to spoil any of it for Rick, but read this sentence.
Yeah.
And they read that sentence, and
then Greg put his hand over his mouth, and he recoiled a little bit.
Yeah.
So, all right, well, that's awesome. So that's coming up later on today. We'll also do your top five, plus we got your Week in Geek sort of recap edition, or remake edition, re-up edition, redo edition, whatever it is.
I'd like to say the top five Billboard hits from May 14th, 1983. I managed to actually find a Billboard top five that I like every single song.
Really?
So
this isn't where Kronos was spinning the wheel of time. This is where Dawn just went through and looked for something she wanted to hear.
Well, I actually, Kronos randomly picked the page, and then I looked at the four options that I had on that page, and I said, ooh, if I did this one, I like all those songs.
All right. You and Kronos had a little sit down, and
we
you
did.
Discussed it.
Yeah.
All right. And you came to a happy, you arrived at an equitable split.
We did.
Okay. So top five coming up later on the day. Also, Aaron Duran at the Week in Geek. We'll have your taser watch and so forth. Plus, coming up in this hour, you will have Science on the March, rather, and your entertainment news and whatnot. If you want to get this program on your mobile device, you can do that. It's mobile.cascadia.fm, mobile.cascadia.fm. You can also get it via iTunes later on in the afternoon or as a direct MP3 download here or at legionofnews.com. This is Don Taylor.
Speaking of listening on your mobile device, I was listening to this morning's edition of Suck It with Sabrina Miller and Robert Wagner from here on Cascadia on my way in and heard my name mentioned because apparently I'm an expert on donuts.
Well, it's true.
Yeah.
The piercing the Bavarian cream.
Well,
kind,
Dawn,
especially.
Dawn was here and she told me that the voodoo donuts are over. And so I'm a donut expert.
You should be sure to put that on your business card. And let the people at that college know that they didn't appreciate your donut identifying skills.
That's
when
right.
They had access to them.
Yeah. Right. I should have gotten like life skills points for that.
Have your own little Janice Ian song going on over there.
A habitual sex offender is on the loose in Southern California after cutting off his GPS ankle bracelet. South Pasadena Police Sergeant Tony Abdallah says it's time-consuming to track these people down.
It's frustrating that we don't have any recourse to do any follow-up once it's removed. So, essentially, once they get that off, they're free and clear with no ability to track their immediate location. So, it takes a lot of resources on our part to devote to track that person down.
Okay, now look, here's the thing. Schwarzenegger is short-timing it right now. I mean, because they voted in Jerry Brown. He is the governor-elect, so Schwarzenegger is a lame duck. But with that also means you don't have to worry about, I mean, I guess he could run again at some point in the future. Because there's, let me ask you this. In California, is there some sort of like a... like a term limit thing or a non-consecutive term limit deal? What is it? I mean, because Jerry Brown was governor for 8 years, and now he's going to be governor again. So it doesn't seem like you're precluded from running again at some point in the future. Anyway, the point is Schwarzenegger's not running again right now, so he's really in that great, terrifying period where he could do anything because he doesn't have to be reelected. Right now is the time to push through legislation where the GPS bracelet just explodes if you tamper with it. You know, where you try to do something and just... and just suddenly you're Van Damme'd.
Or instead of a bracelet, they just embed a chip in the back of your neck.
Yeah. Or maybe they just...
That's fused to your spine.
I was just going to say that, or they put one of those collars and they have you, like, spinning one of those wheels in the town center that, like, grinds wheat or something. Or, you know, or creates electricity so that I can be online.
Yeah, if it created electricity, it would be useful and punishment.
What is it like? Isn't it that thing that they had Lafayette chained up to in the basement in that episode of True Blood? Wasn't he chained to some sort of weird millstone that they had to push around, like...
Yeah.
Like a sort of oxen type of thing?
Yeah, that seemed very inefficient.
There you go. You know, I'm telling you right now, and then you could charge a little bit of access to go down and watch it and maybe pelt them with ocelot noses every now and again.
And you could, like, recharge your smart car for free.
There you go. And you'd have it'd be like the, it'd be like a little thing at the airport that has all the dongles that come off of your various smartphones. Mm-hmm. All right.
A winter weather advisory has forecasters calling for up to 18 inches of snow coming to the mountains. The National Weather Service said that a winter weather advisory is in effect from 10 a.m. Tuesday to 4 a.m. Wednesday.
I hate to be Johnny Pedantic. What mountains where?
The Cascades. Okay. The mountains here.
I'm just saying, that wasn't noted at any point. Look, your last story was from West Virginia. I'm just saying.
Right.
I mean, we're heard all over the world, Don. You could have been talking about the Wasatch Mountains.
A winter weather advisory is had forecasters calling for up to 18 inches of snow
on Mount Doom
coming to the Cascades,
okay,
which would be the mountains near here in
All
Portland,
right.
Oregon, which is in the Pacific Northwest.
Rick Emerson appreciates the clarification.
Anyway, advisory effect is in effect from 10 a.m. Tuesday to 4 a.m. Wednesday for the 3,500-foot level in the North and Central Oregon Cascades. Snow is expected to start falling heavily on Tuesday afternoon, again, up to 18 inches of snow. That's a lot of snow. Travelers on the mountain passes are advised of lower visibility and possibly slippery roads. And here in the valleys, rain. Rain, rain, rain. Rain, 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 rain. There's a reason I don't do the weather stories, you know?
Because they're not very interesting?
No, because there's just no follow-through. There's nothing to say after that. It's like, yep, snow.
Yeah.
Yeah. A new study suggests that hypertexters, teens who send over 120 text messages a day, are more likely to binge drink, get in fights, or take drugs.
Hold on, I think we have the telltale signs of the media fabricating a term in hopes of interjecting it into the popular lexicon. Hypertexters.
Yes.
Okay.
Indeed.
So your fingers change color when you text.
And they're also 3.5 times more likely to have sex than their textless peers. Researchers looked at over 4,200 students at 20 Cleveland high schools, categorizing kids as hypertexters or hypernetworkers, people who spend at least 3 hours a day on social networking sites. While hypertexters are... Really? That makes you a hypernetwork 3 hours a day on social... I mean, is that solid? Or
well, maybe they're saying... Maybe it's 3 hours a day during school hours.
Yeah. While hypertexters are more sexually active, hypernetworkers are more prone to drinking and fighting. The authors estimate that 1 in 5 teens is a hypertexter, while 1 in 9 are hypernetworkers. The study is one of the first to examine the ties between social media use and risky behavior, while the authors say both are tied to permissive parents.
I got to tell you that this is probably true. First of all, 10 out of 10 teens are crazy, so that I would say that lends itself to all kinds of odd behavior. But if the If the chicks at the Lloyd Center Mall are any indication, and I think they probably are, I mean, if you you can learn an astonishing amount about human behavior from a certain Luann Hill slice of the population just by hanging around the food court there. And I got to tell you, it's like the chicks, it's like the kind of chunky chicks in the puffy jackets that are just, they got the eyes locked on the phone. And they don't ever have the smartphone. They have the phone like you had. They had the phone that they bought at like a quick stop, gas and sip kind of a place. And they're just sitting there just thumbing away to some other girl about some guy that said he was going to call and didn't, or said he was going to pay his child support and hasn't. And those chicks always put out, let me tell you.
Well, I just like the idea that the whole conclusion they come to is that kids that like send over 120 text messages a day, or who spend like most of their life sitting in like on Facebook and stuff like that, they also like are more like they have a lot of sex and binge drink and stuff.
Yeah.
Because both of these things are the results of parents who aren't actually actively taking any interest in what their kids are doing and putting any restrictions on their behavior.
People always say that because it's just an easy way, to be angry at somebody, go, well, that's the parents' fault. But, my parents couldn't control me when I was a teenager because when you're a teenager, you're just more motivated. You're more motivated. It's the same reason we can't control drugs coming into the country, because people who want to do drugs are way more motivated than people who want to stop drugs. People who want to stop drugs, I'm sure they really do, but there's nobody more motivated than a guy who really is desperate to get high. So if you're a teenager who wants to get your sex on, ain't nobody going to stop that. And there's no parent anywhere that's going to stop a teenager from doing something a teenager wants to do, like huff Krylon paint and get laid.
No,
not going to happen.
But I think by the time a kid is like 15, 16 years old, though, the choices they're making are sort of, they are a tree branch that kind of comes off of the trunk that is how their parents paid attention to them. It's like, your decisions you made, whether or not they were responsible, they're still going to be different than if you were like one of those kids at the mall whose parents like live in a trailer and
just
drink Mickey's all day.
I don't know that that's true. I think that maybe you can
bring on truckers and have sex with them in the living room in front of them.
I don't think kids are like some sort of Newtonian marble that you can just roll and that they stay in that direction, like forever. Because, you got six brothers and sisters in my family. And, my older brother is a Marine and a child psychologist and has never been in trouble a day in his life. And I'm not all that achieved in my life, but I'm also not like a bad seed. Like, I'm not the hot wiring cars or something. But everybody else in my family, they've all like gone to jail and been expelled and they've all, some of them have spent time living in a school bus dealing meth to the neighbors. And it's like they all came out of the same house. So, I'm saying you can have something of an influence. You know what it is? Here's what kids are like. Kids are like when you're playing pinball, and you can put a little English on the ball. You can give the machine a little bit of a shake. Too much of it, and the machine just tilts, and then they go entirely the other way. Too little, and I guess you have no impact at all. But it's not like you can just move. The ball's not just like some Jedi thing that you can move around with your mind. You can send a kid sort of vaguely in one direction, but bad kids are going to do what bad kids do, and there's nothing to be fixed about
parenting
that.
Parenting does count for something.
I just said this. Parents account for something. But the idea of just saying like, well, it's the parents' fault, is just a lie.
No, but they're saying that it is, that these things can be tied, though, to permissive parents.
Well, I don't know what that means, though.
That means parents...
I mean, is that like when a parent is giving you heroin? What is a permissive parent?
Parents that aren't putting restrictions on behavior.
But parents, you're just not, then we have to move on because we're doing that thing. We're turning into the McNeil-Lehrer Hour. we're becoming the McLaughlin Group. And I'm John right now saying the answer is 5. Parents can put restrictions, but, again, we've got restrictions on doing cocaine. So what?
You know what the phrase permissive parents means.
I don't. I don't. And I don't know that it has anything to do with social networks, because as somebody just noted here, if you spend all your time on social networks, it means you are more social. People who are more social are likely to have friends and people who are, and to go out and spend social time, which means more chances for sex than if you're antisocial. Means nothing.
Yes.
It's from the University of Duh.
Well, okay.
All right. Here's Don Taylor.
Vice President Joe Biden and Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu met in New Orleans Sunday.
Netanyahu. Sorry.
The topic of discussion, reviving Middle East peace talks that are stalled over construction in the West Bank. Mr. Biden later told a Jewish leadership conference that there have been disagreements with Israel along the way, but the ties remain strong.
Disagreements, when they've existed, have only been tactical. in nature. They have never been fundamental. They have never been any fundamental rip in our relations for the last 35 years that I've been involved.
Mr. Biden addressed a Jewish leadership conference, saying the U.S. and Israel have unbreakable bonds.
This administration represents an unbroken chain of American leaders who have understood this critical strategic relationship, one in which we will not yield one single inch.
This administration's got a pain all up and down its left side, and its children don't call.
You really believe that we have an unbreakable chain of presidents who understood this?
I wasn't really listening to whatever Joe Biden said right there. What is it that he understood?
Well, listen to what he said.
It's the second cut?
Yes.
This administration represents an unbroken chain of American leaders who have understood this critical strategic relationship, one in which we will not yield one single inch.
Well, that probably is true when you consider the fact that we've sort of given given unhesitating amounts of aid to Israel, despite the fact that you had, like, Richard Nixon, who believed that Jews were out to get him. But even he didn't want to cross them. So the moral, kids, is don't cross the Jews. They'll cross you back, so to speak.
Duke University has canceled future student tailgating activity before football games following an incident where an underage teen was found unconscious in a portable toilet. It happened on campus November 6th before the Virginia game. The minor, who was a guest of a student, was taken to the Duke Emergency Department for treatment and will be okay.
This is sort of like your Richard Dawson looking up at the board and going, places I don't want to be found unconscious. And the first five are all portable toilets.
Duke University officials say the incident was just the final straw. There have been growing concerns about behavior at tailgating events for some time. Vice President for Student Affairs Larry Mineta said in an email to students, this incident has vividly revealed the tailgate as is practiced at Duke must come to an end. Mineta said there will be no student tailgate before the game this Saturday against Boston College. The school will rethink what's allowed for next year. Over the spring, we will work with students, athletics, and many others to develop a new form of football game day celebration, one that will support our student-athletes, be safe and healthy, and showcase the pride of dear old Duke.
I guess maybe if I'd gone to college, I would understand more of what tailgate means as a verb, because it just means boozing, right? Tailgating in college is like tailgating, like if you're going to see the NFL, you know.
Tailgating at college football games is a lot like tailgating at the Jimmy Buffett concerts. People show up and they all get there like hours before the game, and some of them have like elaborate like barbecues and make food and grill burgers and have bars and mixed drinks, and everybody wanders around from car to car and socializes. So it's kind of a big deal. But yes, there is generally quite a lot of booze involved.
Some consumption of libations happens
yes.
there. You are listening to Legion of Dues right here at Cascadia.fm. Thank you for joining us. It is Tuesday. Coming up later on, the Rick Emerson radio program takes the airwaves. We've got your Taser Watch coming up today. Your top five from when is it? May 14th?
May 14th, 1983.
May 14th, 1980. Is that written over there somewhere?
Yes, it's right where it says top five.
Where?
On the schedule.
Oh, I was looking over to where it actually says the things.
No,
right.
on our schedule.
All right, May 14th, 1983. Awesome. Top five from May 14th, 1983 coming up. Later on, we'll also have The Week in Geek. Plus, our chief of staff, Cheryl Kanakoa, passed this along. She was sent, did she forward this thing to you, this thing she got from Walgreens?
No.
Okay.
I don't think so.
I don't want to oversell this, but it is fantastic. It's a little bit like a direct mail piece. Like they used to hang on your doorknob, or you would just get like, you know, it's like junk mail that you would just get in the mailbox. But it's a whole variety of intimate items you may wish to purchase discreetly under the cover of darkness and the internet.
Oh, I remember I got that email from Walgreens, but I completely ignored it. So,
no, it's she forwarded it along because it's awesome.
And we'll also probably have some tips from my Cosmopolitan magazine
More tips for digitally pleasuring your man.
Yes.
I thought all we needed to know was take off his pants. No, I'm sorry.
That's what it says on the cover. It says first take off his pants, which inspired me to buy the magazine in the first place, because who can deny that as advice? And then it turned out to be a article about detailing how to...
Wouldn't step two, like, yank out his pubic hair or something?
That was somewhere in there, yes. Right. One of the advices was that you should pull on his pubic hair.
Step 6B.
I'm not sure anyone really wants that.
No.
But we will discuss that later.
Okay. You're listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm, brought to you by, among other folks, Castalia Language Center. They are based in downtown Portland, and you can find out more about them by going to PortlandSpanish.com. That is PortlandSpanish.com. They offer Spanish language classes for adults. So, so if you spend all your time, like in the, in 10th grade or 11th grade, just sitting there using your, using the Facebook client for your smartphone and never actually bothering to pay attention to whatever your teacher, and really, who could blame you? I mean, honestly, if you're a kid, if you're right now, if you're listening to me in school, which is not like outside the realm of possibility, but if you're a student who's listening to this program, whatever they're bumping their gums about at the front of the classroom, useless. Useless. Never going to help you or benefit you in any way. I mean, you might as well just drop out now and become a coal miner somewhere. Or just open the textbook to any random page and begin reading on your own. Because whatever they're trying to jam into your head right now is almost certainly not going to be there at the end of the day. Let's not traffic in lies about that. Because they just have this jazz when you're going to school where they just want you to memorize everything. Here's another thing, you kids, if you're listening to me. Your teachers don't care about you. And any claims that your teachers, have like a vested interest in your well-being or whatever, it's a lie. Not true. Really, teachers have, there's that school calendar that goes from, September to June or something. But really, teachers don't even have that. Teachers have the testing calendar, which goes from like May until the end of May. And that's it. Once you've gotten through the testing period, doesn't matter. You're basically just there, just as like some sort of a human seat warmer, like I've got in my Ford. So you're going to get into the big bad adult world, and you're going to find that all of that Spanish learning you did in high school was useless. You learned nothing, and then you're going to have no choice but to go to Castalia Language Center. So just I'm just saying, be planning for that now. You can find out more about it at Portland Spanish. .com. You go to Castalia Language Center, they realize that you don't learn anything for the long term just by having to memorize it and then to recite it or just committing it to memory and regurgitating it, because it's not the way that people actually learn a language. It's not the way that people actually learn to speak. You learn to speak conversationally by speaking in conversation. And also they have small class sizes, as opposed to whatever high school you're in, where they're just packing people in there with a plunger like you're getting onto some sort of a Tokyo subway. So I'm just saying, these are just the facts of life as I understand them. You can find out more about Castalia Language Center, where they teach adults how to speak Spanish conversationally in class sizes of no more than 8 people. It means you and a maximum. Think about when have you ever been in a class that only had 8 people? Like, never. Unless you were in some sort of weird, Hughesian after-school detention program. And even then, it was probably, jam-packed.
I think when I was studying improvisational comedy, we had like 8 people in the class.
Did you have to pretend to be way more? Did you have to pretend as though the class were larger, more interesting?
No, but we did have to do trust-building exercises.
Okay. In any event, you can go to PortlandSpanish.com. That is PortlandSpanish.com. That's where you find out about Castalia Language Center, a proud sponsor of Legion of News, here at Cascadia.fm. Here's Don Taylor.
Let's do our science news.
Here's your science on the march for Tuesday, right here at Legion of News.
Scientists have been studying sea lions on the Oregon coast this weekend and warning beachgoers about a disease that many of the animals are carrying. The bacterial disease has the ability to spread from sea lions to dogs and then onto people. It can be spread through contact with contaminated urine, water, or soil. Excuse me. Several California sea lions have already been diagnosed with it, and some have died. Over the weekend, at least 2 more sea lions were found dead. They're now getting calls for multiple sick or dead sea lions daily, which is higher than normal at OSU Marine Mammal Institute. The overall number of sea lions has risen, so it's difficult to compare mortality rates from year to year, but they're seeing an increase in animals that test positive for leptospirosis. That's what it's called.
That doesn't sound like a thing I want.
No. Dozens of dead animals have been sent to the Veterinary Diagnostic Laboratory in OSU's College of Veterinary Medicine. And then not all of the animals have tested positive. Many showed clear signs of leptospirosis, which raises concern about human health. When humans have the disease, their symptoms are similar to the flu, often including a high fever, chills, and intense headaches. In some cases, it can be deadly. Anyone who notices a beach sea lion is urged to stay far away from it and to alert authorities.
Also because they'll attack you. You don't want to F with sea lions, because they'll F you right back.
Not if they're dead.
Well, no, it sounds like even if they're dead, they're going to F you right back. They're just going to do it passively.
Yes.
Your skin's going to be sloughing off. I call that a good serious effing. Really, I do. Is the flu-like symptoms, is that the sort of in-bed of the science and symptomological world?
Everything has
flu-like symptoms. It doesn't matter what it is. Ebola, the actual flu, food poisoning, doesn't matter. Symptoms resemble the flu.
I always assume when they say flu-like symptoms, they're talking about like that sort of fever, fatigue, kind of achy all over sort of thing.
Generally unwell.
Yes.
A nighttime sniffling, sneezing, stuffy, achy head fever so you can rest kind of a feeling.
Yes.
Okay.
Only maybe without the stuffy head part.
Just checking. All right.
Five researchers. Oh, wait. When faith in external government systems fails, faith in God subsequently increases, according to a recent study published in the November issue of Journal of Personality and Social Psychology. Five researchers examined how instability in government order, ranging from economic turmoil to impending elections, affects individuals' psychological functioning. They based their findings on an analysis of historical trends and past research, as well as four experiments that they designed. The study highlights the psychological importance of personal control of one's destiny in providing security. When someone feels personal matters are out of control, an external force, either government or God, can ensure things are under control. The order provided by a higher power or karma is thought to be common to almost all religions. The paper claims belief in God and government serve overlapping functions as providers of structured, non-random, orderly worlds. The researchers also write that government and God may be substitutable. One of their studies involved analyzing past experiments that showed when participants' personal control was threatened by heightening perceptions of randomness, and when there was a heightened belief that, events were random, belief in a controlling God increased. So the same experimental conditions increased faith in government.
Well, it also increases superstition in general. I mean, that's why gamblers are so superstitious. That's why actors are superstitious. That's why anybody who is engaging in any sort of activity where the outcome is not necessarily predictable, even when you think you know what the outcome is going to be and all of the variables seem to be the same, you go, I don't know, we were doing the same show as last night. The audience last night loved it. The audience tonight, totally cold. They're just not. They're not feeling our comedic vibe. Says the improvisational troupe or whatever, which is why you're not allowed to like say Macbeth or something. Because I don't know. Because it calls down like Mr. Boogity, who then skulks around doing all of his boogity business.
I do like the idea though that they did realize that our trust and our faith that the government is taking care of everything for us and keeping us safe. That when that sense of security is shaken, people. Like start believing more in God. The need to be religious, the need to have something that is controlling you outside of your own random chaotic world is so great that you will like substitute religion for government.
Or just a guy who hits you a lot, but you know is nice every now and again.
Well, that's God.
Is he really?
Pretty much.
Okay. That answer might reveal more about you than it does about the question itself.
Well, we both come from Catholic backgrounds.
I'm just saying. It's like, I'm just saying that's typically how that works. People either become really religious or they become really, really, really zealous fans of large and encroaching government. Or they just end up with the wrong guy. Yeah, they become end up with the wrong guy who tells them which friends they may or may not spend time with, but who has a softer side that only they know about.
Scientists have observed the highest rate of beak abnormalities ever recorded in wild bird populations in Alaska and the Northwest. The U.S. Geological Survey study on beak deformities in northwestern crows in Alaska, Washington, and British Columbia follows a trend found earlier in Alaska's black-capped chickadees. The prevalence of these strange deformities is more than 10 times what is normally expected in wild bird populations, according to two wildlife biologists. The cause of the deformity, called avian keratin disorder, hasn't been determined. An estimated 17% of adult northwestern crows are affected by the disorder in coastal Alaska.
I think the black-capped chickadees were Ray Charles' backup singers.
The keratin layer of the beak becomes overgrown, resulting in elongated and often crossed beaks. The deformity showed up in adult birds, most often in the upper beak, but sometimes in the lower beak or both. The abnormality also is sometimes accompanied by elongated claws, abnormal skin, or variations in feather color.
Okay. This isn't one of those things like the... what was the story we had? Was it the frogs with the extra legs? There was some story like this.
Yeah, that was yesterday. Yeah.
It might have been there, but it might have been some other story where it was the thing they were trying to position as an abnormality or, you know, like a downside. But really, it just seemed as though nature was ramping up some sort of a huge broadside against humanity. And this was like, you know, this is like step 75 or something. you know, where they get the like the weird crossed beaks, you know, and the elongated claws, which seem like they could be used for some sort of nefarious purpose.
You'll you might be surprised to learn, though, that the scientists said the beak deformities can be caused by environmental contaminants, nutritional deficiencies, and bacterial, viral, fungal, or parasitic infection.
A crossed beak seems like a thing that would serve you poorly.
As a bird, yeah.
Yeah, because you're not going to be able to... it'd be like having your jaw... It'd be like if your upper plate was just pointing one way, know, when the your lower plate was pointed another way.
Or like if you're that guy on Boardwalk Empire who had half of your face blown off.
Seriously. Or... Never mind. Yes, yes, exactly like that. I'm sorry, I'm not going to get sidetracked. I was going to make an observation about Saw 7. Which I saw last night, by the way.
Did you?
Here's the thing. I don't want to rain anybody's parade. It's not very good.
Oh,
just,
really?
Yes. Aww. I don't mean to, harsh everybody's horror film mellow or anything, but it's sort of a poorly made film. I don't really know what... Looking back, I'm not sure what I expected. I wish that I could go back and visit my pre-Saw 7 exposed self.
What were you thinking?
And just, if I could create some sort of a weird, like, Bill and Ted phone booth and just go back and go, hey, Rick, what do you think this movie is going to be like? How good do you think it's going to be on a scale of 1 to 7? And just
you're
to
like,
see,
I think it's going to be awesome.
Yeah, if I could just sort of, like, a dumb shake of the head and go, oh, it's going to be like a 9. Yeah, woo. You know, is it? No. Those expectations were not met.
I, on the other hand, sat down with my husband and we watched all of Piranha, the new Piranha.
Piranha 3D, which is awesome,
and
by
it
the
is
way.
Just, that is just a great, even if you don't see it in 3D.
We should talk more about that next hour because that's a fantastic film.
The black truffle is a rare and treasured delicacy, and now scientists have learned the fungus even reproduces in a manner highly unusual for its kind, sexually. The finding could help scientists come one step closer to learning how to cultivate the oak tree root-loving species. The discovery came from a careful study and mapping of different strains of the fungi, tuber melanosporum. Firstly, it has to be said that until recently, the prevailing view was these organisms were self-fertile, explained Francesco Paolucci of the National Research Council's Plant Genetics Institute in Perugia, Italy. What it means is it was thought to be able to fertilize itself to produce viable spores. But it turns out that there is actual sexual reproduction in the fungus. Despite carrying both male and female parts on the same individual fungus organism, they cross their genes with other individuals in the same way we do when we reproduce sexually, a strategy that's called self-fertile or heterothallic. So the black truffles, it's a fungus, but they reproduce sexually.
Doesn't the black truffle sound like the name that would be given to some sort of really feared but really swishily gay pirate?
Yes.
Beware, it's the black truffle. And then with just like with the sound of Rodgers and Hammerstein is blaring, it just sort of comes over the horizon.
Yeah, he'd be deadly and really excellent with a sword, but impeccably groomed.
Yeah. You are listening to Legion of News right here at Cascadia.fm. Thank you for joining us. Coming up later on, the Rick Emerson radio program featuring Taser Watch, your top five songs from May 14th, 1983, the week in Geek. And we'll talk Piranha 3D. And so actually, you saw Piranha 3D. I saw 3D. Mm-hmm. So we'll do those comparisons. And then we have a whole bunch of stuff left over from yesterday, because yesterday's show was just so unbelievably jam-packed. We'll get to that
Much of it about later on. Boobs.
Really? Boobs, and I think there was some urine in there too.
Was there?
It seems like there often is. It seems like one out of every three shows has sort of a urine heavy aspect to it.
I don't remember urine from yesterday, but then you know they all sort of
flowed
together.
Thank you. One big golden blur. This Noel Coward-esque wit is brought to you by, among other folks, Squires Electric. You can find out more about them at squireselectric.com, or you can call 503-252-1609. And let's have no doubt about this. I am mentally feeble in almost every way, up to and including my ability to fix anything, like, around the house. Doesn't matter. The sink, you know, the toaster. I mean, actual toast. I can't even, I can't do anything. But like many guys, I have had that moment where I thought that I would, like, you know, that I'd give it a whirl. You know, just see what I could see. Sometimes it's going down and like opening the panel box where all the fuses are. Sometimes it's like you have like a little bit, like a pamphlet or like a... Like that book that they put in the glove box of your car when you buy it that has all the schematic diagrams, as though that's going to help you with anything. Can I tell you that I've had, you know, our friend Thomas Gill, who was here to help us set up this whole studio back in June, you know, right before he came to town, the cigarette lighter in my Ford stopped working. Not that I light a lot of cigarettes, but it's a thing that I use, you know, it's like a charger for my cell phone, or whatever. Just stopped working. And he actually explained to me, he said, well, you know, that's just a fuse. He said, there's a fuse that they put back in there, and it's, you know, you replace the fuse, your cigarette lighter's going to work again. And I said, really? And he goes, yeah, if you look inside the booklet that came with your Ford, you know, in the glove box, it'll show you where it is. And I was like, oh, that's great. And I said, convincing myself, not unlike I convinced myself that Saw 3D would be awesome, I said, that's great. I'll do that. And, of course, did I do it when Thomas was actually still in town, where he could have, like, him and his jackknife that he carries with him everywhere could have just magically fixed? No. I said, no, I'll do it later by myself. And so then I open the glove box and I take out the book, and you open it, and then you had the realization that most guys do, or many guys do, when you look at the thing, and you realize you have no idea what any, it's just a bunch of squiggly lines that are all running together with a bunch of scientific symbols that you sort of suspect are made up. It's like the tennis scoring system that was just there to flummox the commoners. You're looking at this and you're going, well, why is jewel spelled that way? That doesn't make any sense. It looks like jowl. Why isn't it pronounced jowl? And then at that point, you realize that you just have, there's no hope that you're going to fix that. So that's when you ought to call Squires Electric. That is 503-252-1609. 503-252-1609. Or go to squireselectric.com. They are fully licensed, bonded, and insured electrical inspectors and supervisors, which is, by the way, the thing you've got to study for and you got to pass that test, and 97% of people fail it. Joe Squires, the man who owns Squires Electric, he passed it the first time out, and they've been in Portland for over a decade, so you call them with all your electrical needs. If it has to do with wires or wiring in your home or business, they can make your life easier. When they leave, it's just going to work. 503-252-1609. 503-252-1609. SquiresElectric.com. Here is Don Taylor.
We're done with the science.
All right, there's your science on the march for Tuesday. Awesome. Here is Don Taylor at the news desk.
Addressing the mainly Muslim country of Indonesia on Tuesday, President Obama criticized Israel and Palestine for not doing enough to secure peace in the Middle East, saying that he hadn't seen evidence that talks could finally create a framework for a secure Israel living side by side in peace with the sovereign Palestine. Obama also criticized Israeli plans to build 1,300 homes in a contested part of East Jerusalem and an additional 800 homes in the West Bank settlement of Ariel. This kind of activity is never helpful when it comes to peace negotiations.
Because everything else has been really helpful. Everything else has had great returns.
And I'm concerned that we're not seeing each side make the extra effort involved to get a breakthrough.
He's really uncorking the strong language there.
He said this to Indonesian President Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono.
Is his middle name really Bang Bang?
Bam Bang.
Okay.
Each of these incremental steps end up breaking trust. Obama received word of the plans on Monday as Israeli President Benjamin Netanyahu began the first leg of a trip to the U.S. And EU Foreign Policy Commissioner Catherine Ashton released a statement this week calling the settlements illegal and demanding that Israel reverse the decision.
It's sort of great, too, because, you know, in this instance, Obama, but it's been like every president forever, is, you know, just sits there and arches an eyebrow and says, you, Israel, you, maybe you should not, if you just don't, come on, give me a break. You know, meanwhile, Israel's going, yeah, that's great. Whatever you said, fine. You know, and, you know, they're just like building a strip mall or something right there in the middle of it. So, you know, there's something to be said for just, you know, there's something to be said for what Michael Keaton in the paper, and I've referred to this a billion times in my life because it's one of the truest statements ever made. Yeah, that whole thing about the, you know, the clipboard or the confident wave just getting you into any building in the world. If you just sort of go about your business and act like what you're doing is appropriate and proper and that no one's going to stop you, you'll find that that's effective about 90% of the time. So, which is the lesson that Israel has learned. You know what I mean? Israel, we'd appreciate it if you didn't kidnap and assassinate people in violation of international law. If you could just, in Israel, that's great. No, that's wonderful. Hold on a second. We got to kill this guy. We'll be right back. You know, and they just, you know, they just have to do what they're going to do. So I can respect that.
By the way, can I have some props for pronouncing all the names in that story correctly?
Especially Bam
after,
Bang.
After yesterday?
No.
That I said Netanyahu correctly, and I said Susilo Bam Bang Yudhoyono.
Yes, and I also fight off the urge when you say names like that to say things like Anyang. So.
Let's do our entertainment news.
All right, here's your entertainment news for Tuesday. All right, here at Legion of News.
Actress Gretchen Mol, who stars as a dancer on the HBO series Boardwalk Empire, is pregnant with her second child. I'm just enjoying this time, she told People magazine. We're not shooting now, so I'm having a baby, and then we'll start shooting again, which is great. It's really lovely to know I have a job coming, and there's this little time, and I can really enjoy it instead of feeling stressed.
There's a whole weird thing on that show where she seems way too young to be Jimmy's mom.
Yeah. Wasn't it weird to see her, like, mostly naked?
Yeah.
Too?
Yeah, but she was mostly naked in the Betty Page thing,
yeah,
in
the
Notorious Betty Page.
Yeah, that wasn't TV. I know HBO isn't really the same as TV, but it's just kind of like kind of stunning when I see like a movie star take their clothes off.
I dig Gretchen Mol. I'm a fan of hers. I've been a fan of hers
terrific.
For a long time. I remember after the movie Rounders came out, I wondered if she was on the downside of her career, because when Rounders came out, she was really underused. She was great in that movie, but she was really a throwaway role. I mean, there was just not a lot for her there. And then the Betty Page movie came out, and it was fairly well regarded, but it didn't do very well. But I'm glad to see that she's got a little something going on.
Well, she and her husband have a 3-year-old son named Ptolemy.
Ptolemy?
Ptolemy.
Ptolemy Mol is his name?
Well, no, his name is Kip Williams. It's probably Ptolemy Williams.
Oh. Who marries a guy named Kip? Could you possibly yell at the name Kip during marital relations? No.
No, probably.
You'd have to come up with like a stunt name, like a proxy name, you know, just to use during those moments of carnal joy, because you can't say Kip.
No.
It'd be like calling it the name Phineas or Casper.
Or Ptolemy.
Or Ptolemy. Is it Ptolemy with a P in the front?
Yes.
All right. Okay.
Taylor Swift's new album, Speak Now, is the fastest-selling new album in 5 years, having sold well over 1 million copies in its first week out. Jim Donio of the National Association of Recording Merchandisers says even though overall sales are down considerably in the past decade, releases by Swift, Susan Boyle, and Kanye West could lead to a big holiday season.
Susan Boyle?
Yeah.
Okay, fine.
I think there is still a great appeal for a segment of the marketplace, or a segment of the marketplace that believes in giving, that really will continue to underscore album sales.
They believe in giving.
Hmm.
Okay. That seems like a less than scientific explanation for why the album sales are up this particular week.
Donio says Swift has been able to fight the industry-wide trend of sagging sales in part by embracing new media.
Well, that's, and her whole thing is just, I mean, she has actually done what a lot of artists have resisted, in that record of hers was not only available, I mean, via iTunes and, other physical outlets and whatever, because she realizes that the way is, it's not like this jive where you're just going to sell the thing through Best Buy only, or you're just going to, like, I think it was AC/DC last year just sold their record exclusively through Walmart, which did not lead to bountiful sales, because there's a whole lot of... It's not even like... Even if you're not morally opposed to going to Walmart, like, a lot of people are just never going to go there because they just don't go there. So it's not part of their routine. And if it's not like... pardon me. If it's not really on your radar that AC/DC has a new record out, and it's easy for them to just, you got so much... There's so much advertising being thrown at you, and there's so much new music coming out all the time through every different kind of sales and transmission conduit now, that it's not like everybody in the world just sits around waiting for one single record the way we used to. Yeah. It's not like 1989, 89, when you just sat around waiting for, like, when is that new Guns N' Roses record finally going to come out? And so you almost have to just stumble upon. I mean, how many times that happened to you where it's like some artist that you really, really like put out a record like 2 weeks ago and you had no idea?
I just found out day before yesterday there's a brand new Elvis Costello album.
Yeah, and you're a huge fan.
Yeah, and I had no idea.
And it's like you go online, you go, oh, my God, there's this artist that I'm, Alice Cooper put out a record last year that it was the same thing. I was online looking for something else, and I happened to see that, and it had been out for, 2 or 3 weeks already. So if you don't happen to go to, like, Walmart, you're never going to see that the new AC/DC record is there. So what she has done is she, in addition to using Facebook and MySpace and whatever, she's gone to a lot of music subscription services, which are really... not hurting for business as such, but have not really gotten a foothold yet, and so are willing to deal with somebody who's a major artist and has a lot of clout to give her a lot of front page placement. So as a result, because I use the Napster subscription service, and if you go there, she's on the front page of every single... You can't go to a single page inside that service without seeing an ad for the Taylor Swift record, and as a result, she has, like, the top 10 slots in every single category. Best-selling artist, best-selling singles, best-selling, current album is hers, the best-selling catalog album, so albums that are more than 5 years old, those are all hers. She or her handlers have really got... they've really got a keen eye on how to handle that.
Well, this fellow also says part of her success is her ability to bring in a fan base that is older than she is.
She's, positioned herself, in a virtual, marketing sense, using the most current social media and social networking tools.
Which is really true. And by the way, and I should say that audience includes me, because I have the new record.
The older fan base would be the third one, I guess.
Yeah, this is this is cut number three.
She appeared, this week on Dancing with the Stars, which, appeals obviously to a very different demo.
Yeah, the thing is, she's all over the place, and I still am never entirely sure who she is. I keep mixing her up with, like, Carrie Underwood or someone. I keep going, Taylor Swift, was she one of those American Idol girls?
No.
I don't know where she came from.
Taylor Swift came, she's one of those people that came from either somewhere very, very near to the architect of the universe, or she just came from some weird underground lab where they create all of those, like, insanely talented people that just fill you with a sort of mystery and a barely concealed sense of loathing in your darker moments.
Yeah. She also has those weird kind of eyes where there's not a whole lot going on in there. You can't tell, like, what, you know.
Those are the devil's eyes, Dawn.
Yeah.
That's what you're seeing there. So Taylor Swift came to prominence when she was 16 because she wrote the song called Tim McGraw, which is about the country artist of the same name, and which is a fantastic song, which is just an amazing little gem of a pop song. And that was her first big hit. And everybody kind of, you know, looked at her and they went, oh, that's a cute song from some cute blonde girl from Tennessee, from whatever. And then she just churned them out like one after another after another. And I mean, I think now I think she's only like 21. Mm-hmm. I think she just turned 21 and just put out this record, which is actually also available as a double record, which contains, I think, 26 songs, which she wrote, which she wrote and produced, you know, like by herself.
So and aren't there like there's like I'm angry at my ex-boyfriend songs or something like that? Are these about the werewolf boy?
Taylor Lautner?
Yeah.
Well, we don't have time to talk about this now. I could go on. I could spend many hours talking about Taylor Swift, but we don't have many hours now. We have many hours coming up later on.
Did you run into her in the restroom at KUFO?
I inadvertently stalked her in a bathroom. It's a long story. We can get to more of this next hour. Let's see. Are we still in the entertainment news?
I have one entertainment thing that I need to mention before we close.
Well, let's
that
do
out.
That here.
AMC has renewed The Walking Dead for a second season.
Which is funny because actually Darabont was interviewed about that yesterday and he said that it wasn't true. And I think it probably was true, but he didn't want to say it until it was publicly announced because you don't want to sort of jinx yourself that way.
Well, the series has only aired two episodes centering on a police officer who leads a group of survivors in a world ruled by zombies based on the comic book series penned by Robert Kirkman.
Now, what is the episode? How long is the series, the season? Is it like 13? Is it 6? Is it 10?
I'm not sure.
Because, you know, the first season of Breaking Bad was only 6 episodes.
Yeah, I don't know.
Which may have been because of the writer's strike, but I don't really know. And then you got, like, Eastbound and Down, which is running 6, or this year 7. You got Mad Men, I think, was 13 or 14. I think it was 14. You know, but you got, like, The Wire that was only 10. So it seems like you can just sort of make up the length of your season now. It doesn't really seem like there's any, like, you're beholden to any kind of a standard there, which is fine. I mean, it's, you know, I'd rather have a shorter season. It's hard to believe, actually, when you go back and you watch, when you either watch some sort of, like, mainstream network television now or you watch television shows from, like, even just a couple years ago. Like, I was back watching Alias, and it was just like, and the seasons are 22 episodes long, and it just seems, I'm not even complaining, but it just seems endless. I mean, not even in a bad way. It just seems to go on forever, though, and you're like, I can't. You know, where am I? And you're like at episode 9. You're like, I'm not even halfway through this thing.
No wonder they just ran out of stories to tell by the third season.
I mean, it's like, I mean, that would have been 22 episodes. That would have been, you know, almost halfway through The Wire's entire run. So it does. I mean, it isn't really a big shock that a lot of those series, it's like they get to a point where you just go like, we're done. We got no more ideas. We are. We're going to fire Mr. Cotter and have his wife come teach everything, you know? I mean, just because you got nothing left. So, all right. You are listening to Legion of News right here at Cascadia.fm. Thank you for joining us. If you find this program delightful, and why wouldn't you, my chums? You can thank folks such as CJ's High Climbing Services. You can find out more about them at CJ'sHighClimbing.com. That is the website, CJ'sHighClimbing.com. You can call 503-228-9278. 503-228-9278. They handle home maintenance tasks and chores, jobs, largely those outside your home that you might find to be difficult or unpleasant or messy, or they might be a little bit dangerous for you or perhaps one of the older members of your family. Perhaps, you got like that uncle who took lead at the Battle of the Bulge, and so therefore he thinks that, like, you know, he's able to clamber up, and I don't know what, like, remortar a chimney or something, which is probably not true, you know, and it's just going to end, badly, and he's just going to be bitching at you the entire way to the hospital that you should have just let him, like, fix it before you hauled him off to the emergency room, because he's not a pansy. So, you cut the Gordian knot there. I would go so far as to say, if you've got a relative like that, just go behind his back, because your grandmother will be grateful. She'll thank you for this. So you contact CJ's High Climbing at cjshighclimbing.com, or you call them at 503-228-9278. They can often give you an estimate over the phone, just using Google Earth, especially if it's for something like the gutters or something that's on the roof of the house. If it's like moss removal or algae removal, that kind of algae that gets in there and they just like pries apart the shingles on top of your home. You don't want to screw with that. So they can give you an estimate online and they can invoice you after the fact, which is especially handy if it is going to be like a holiday present for you. Got the older relatives, you got your mom or something. You can actually just have them bill you. They'll go and take care of it. No muss, no fuss. Nobody has to endanger themselves with anything. CJ'sHighClimbing.com or 503-228-9278. That's how you contact CJ's High Climbing Services. Let's do one more here and then we'll wrap things up for today.
Police in Pennsylvania said a drunk man who allegedly stole a car and crashed it into a pole left his wallet and cell phone behind in the vehicle. Investigators said Chad David Caldwell, 27, of Butler, Pennsylvania, stole the car, which was unlocked with the keys inside, from outside a Summit Township bar at about 10 p.m. Friday. State police allege Caldwell abandoned the car after crashing into a mailbox and a utility pole, but police recovered his wallet and cell phone from inside the car. Caldwell was arrested at his home and admitted to drunkenly stealing and crashing the car. He was charged with motor vehicle theft, hit skip, and drunken driving.
With what?
Hit skip, which I guess is when you hit, it's like hit and run,
it's like
I guess,
hit and run
in Pennsylvania.
All right. Okay. There you go. On that note, we will bring to a conclusion another exciting episode of Legion of News. It is Tuesday, November 9th, 2010. Thank you for joining us. Don't forget the Rick Emerson Show is next at rickemerson.com, featuring your Taser Watch, your top five, and the week in geek. Plus, I trust that you finally watched Eastbound and Down.
I did indeed.
All right, so we'll talk Eastbound and Down. We'll talk a little bit of Dexter, because I got that watch last night. Also, Saw 3D, and then you saw Piranha 3D.
Yes.
So we'll discuss all of that coming up. Legion of News comes to you live each and every weekday from the studios of the Emerson News Network. Don Taylor is at the news desk. Advanced technology and magic provided by Mr. Thomas Gill. Executive producer Bruce Agler. Chief of Staff Cheryl Kanakoa. This program available later on today via iTunes, as well as a direct MP3 download here at Cascadia.fm or at legionofnews.com. We'll see you again tomorrow at noon. Until then, have a satisfying day, won't you please?